Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we do each Sunday, would you read the sermon title together with me? Here he comes, ready or not. Finding our theme in the gospel reading, which was just read, especially verse 13, where Jesus says, "Therefore, keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour." Today, as we said, is the last Sunday in the church year, the last Sunday before the Christmas season begins next week with Advent. But on this last Sunday, year after year, the focus is always the same. Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus' second coming and judgment day? Are you ready for the unexpected? Story is told about a farmer who had a favorite mule. This mule was very important to him because it was a treasured work animal, but also it had become a family pet. But the mule got terribly sick. So the man took the mule to the vet, the animal doctor, and said, "What can I possibly do to save this dear mule's life?" And the vet said, "Easy. You just give him one of these large pills. Make sure he swallows it one each day. And in no time, he'll be just fine." But then the farmer said, "How can I possibly get him to swallow a pill like that?" The vet said, "Very easy. Take this pipe with a large bore on this end, the other end. Put the pill in it. Put it in the mule's mouth. Take a deep breath. And before you know it, the mule will swallow the pill and everything will be just great." Well, about an hour or two later, the farmer came back to the vet and the farmer just looked terribly sick. And the vet said, "You look awful. What happened to you?" And the farmer said, "The mule blew first." Today's gospel reading is Jesus' parable about the arrival of the bridegroom, and it asks this important question: how ready are you for the unexpected? How ready are you for the second coming of Christ and judgment day? Will the mule blow first, or will you be ready? Matthew 25 tells us, and please follow your sermon outline that's been provided for you in your handout. Please follow the outline with me. Jesus says in Matthew 25, the bridegroom is coming. Verses 1 to 5. "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish one took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise men took oil along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all fell asleep." Here in this parable, we see a picture of a grand Jewish wedding. The big event has come. After sunset, the groom and his male attendants leave the home of the groom's parents. They form a loud and joyful procession on their way to the bride's family home. The bridesmaids are in another house, waiting to join the guys in the wedding processional. They will join the men, and together they will all go in procession by lamplight to the home of the bride's parents where the wedding will take place. In this parable, we find 10 bridesmaids. Now, that's a pretty large wedding party. 10 bridesmaids in the parable are called the 10 virgins. And they wait for the men. These guys are late. Guys, where are you and what are you doing? Who knows what those guys were doing? And now it's almost midnight. Now, there are two types of bridesmaids in this parable, says Matthew, the wise and the foolish, the prepared and the unprepared. The tradition is for these women to carry their oil-filled lamps in the night processional to the bride's home for the wedding. 5 are ready with extra oil. 5 are not ready. They have no extra oil. And they all fall asleep waiting for the bridegroom and all his guys. Suddenly somebody shouts, "The bridegroom is nearby. It's midnight. Wake up, girls." See, the guys were probably making a loud commotion a few blocks away, and they'll soon be there to pick up the girls for the processional. Now imagine this scene, and let me tell you, until the Jesus comes back, the scene will never change on a wedding day. The bridesmaids are running here. The bridesmaids are running there. The groom and his men, are they here or are they on time? Are they ready for things? Well, finally, these bridesmaids grab their lamps. But whoops, some have oil for the processional and some don't. See, the lamps were burning as they were waiting. Now, five of them have no more oil. In a panic, they asked their five friends, can we have some of yours? And they're told, no, if we give you yours, none of us will have enough. So they had to run out to the local 7-Eleven and buy some more oil for their lamps. But as they went out, they missed the arrival of the bridegroom. Oh, no, they missed the processional. We now see them, skirts hiked up, running in panic to the home of the bride's family. They can't miss the wedding. But by the time they get there, says the parable, the door is closed and it's locked. The ceremony has begun and they can't get in. And Jesus says in verse 11, later the other bridesmaids came and said, sir, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth. I don't even know you. Now, at this point, the parable and reality meet, because surely an earthly bridegroom would not exclude these girls from the wedding. But the parable points to the reality that this whole message is about. Jesus, the bridegroom, will return at a day we don't expect. The second coming, judgment day, the end of the world will come. And are you listening? Or are you distracted at this moment? This is a serious text. The bridegroom will come and there will be some people who are not ready, who don't belong to him, who have not put their trust in him. And to them, the doors of heaven will be shut forever. Now, please note, every parable has one major point. And Jesus makes this point in verse 13. He said, you be alert because you don't know the day or the hour. Now, what is the bridegroom's message to us today? This message about being ready has some very important applications to us. And now I would have to turn your eyes to the sermon bulletin. Look at Roman numeral 4. There are a half a dozen applications for us today. First of all, the text tells us that not everyone who says they await Jesus' second coming is really ready. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, there are some who have a form of godliness, but they do not have the power thereof. What does that mean? Not all church people are ready. How about you? Some have a form of godliness, says Paul, like a nice-looking lamp, but there's no oil inside. They look good on the outside, but the heart is not right to God, not close to God, not serving God. Secondly, complacency has set in for many. Many people live in between Jesus' first coming at Christmas and his second coming at the end of the world, Judgment Day. Many are sleeping and are unprepared. Oh, it seems such a long time to wait. Jesus, are you ever really coming again? It's easy to join the bridesmaids and sleep, to become complacent. How about you and me? It's so easy to go through the motions Sunday after Sunday, putting in that 1 hour for God, and he's glad that you are here. But it's so easy to put in that hour a week and not to take to heart, not to take seriously all this Jesus stuff, not to consider eternity. Because I have bought the lie of the world around me, and I am so consumed with thoughts of only today. The next application that tells us in our text is Jesus' return will be sudden It'll be visible. It'll be audible. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says this, "For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God." This is just like the description in today's parable. The groom will arrive when we least expect it. His sudden and glorious return will awaken all of those who are unprepared, like the sleeping bridesmaids with no oil for their lamp. And next we find, look at the fourth point, preparedness is not transferable. If you are a teenager, if you are a young adult, if you are a child, if you are a child of a faithful parent or grandparent, listen to this next statement. Preparedness is not transferable. You cannot depend on somebody else to get you ready. Not your parents, not your husband, not your wife, not your pastor. Someone has once said, God has no spiritual grandchildren. Proverbs 9 verse 12 says, if you are to be wise, you will be wise for yourself. And even as the unprepared bridesmaids could not borrow oil from the prepared bridesmaids, you cannot depend on the preparedness or faith of a parent, grandparent, spouse, or a pastor. The question is, in our text today, are you ready for judgment day? Point five, there will be no second chance. As in the parable, one day the door will be shut. Hebrews 9:27 puts it this way, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this comes the judgment. This is biblical truth. This is what many people today do not want to hear. This is what many liberal churches today will not proclaim so as not to offend anybody. But this is what God's word says in so many times and places. One day, judgment day will come. The door will be shut forever. And hell will be found outside that door, apart from God forever. Now, I invite anyone who is here today who wants to discuss these important matters to come see me. My door is always open. But for now, we finish this sermon with the sixth and the most important point of all. Are you ready for some good news? Let me ask you again. Are you ready for some good news? Yes. Almighty God, in his love for everyone, has provided a way for us to be ready. Certainly you remember that childhood game we played during the children's message, not? Remember? Ready or not, here I come. The one in charge, of course, would count loudly, 1 to 100 maybe. And you would go hide eagerly, waiting for the one who is in charge to come find you. Maybe you even giggled as you waited. I heard some giggles underneath the piano. You weren't afraid. This was fun. Boy, oh boy, you hoped the one who was it would come find you. He was your friend. You knew he would come when you didn't expect him, but that was okay because you trusted him, and in no way were you afraid. Simple trust and eager expectation. Simple trust in Jesus makes us ready. Simple trust in him brings eager expectation. We need have no fear. We know he will come unexpectedly, but that will be a good thing. He is in charge, and we know we can trust him. His second coming will be our homecoming, coming to our eternal home in heaven that the shed blood of Christ has won for us. And my friends, God has provided the sure way for our homecoming. In the third chapter of John's Gospel, in verse 16, we hear of that way he has provided. And if you know those words, you're welcome to say them with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But words just as sweet as these are spoken in verse 17, a verse we forget. Listen to what it says. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. What does it mean to be ready for Jesus' second coming and judgment day? To be ready means to trust. To trust that because God loves you, he sent Jesus. To be ready means to trust that Jesus' death on the cross made the full and final payment for all your sin. To be ready means to trust that Jesus' resurrection victory on Easter has won the victory for you. Victory over sin. Victory over death and the grave. Victory over the devil. Jesus, the heavenly bridegroom, will one day return to take you to the eternal wedding banquet. And to you, the door will never be closed. When the final trumpet sounds, when Jesus returns in all his glory, we will hear that wonderful shout, "The bridegroom is here. He has come for us. Let the eternal celebration begin." Oh, dear God, in Jesus' name, we are ready. Come, Lord Jesus, come. In the name of Jesus, God's people said, Amen.